Welcome to the fourth episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, season 2. The Meet the Mancunian podcast takes you on a weekly journey around the local community in Manchester. Season 2 has an interesting lineup of inspiring guests making a social or community impact in the city. Presented by Deepa Thomas Sutcliffe, newbie Mancunian. Tune in every Tuesday for your weekly dose of inspiration. Looking to support the community? In this episode, we hear from Gaynor Mullen, yoga teacher and Community Hub Support Coordinator at SAIL. Gaynor also runs SAIL M33, a local community Facebook group. I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Gaynor Mullen, yoga teacher. Thank you, Gaynor, for joining me today.
You're welcome. Nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Lovely. Tell us about how you found your passion for bringing yoga classes to all.
Well, I came to yoga fairly late, in my late 20s. I'd been to a couple of classes previously in my 20s and just not really got it. And then I went to the class of a wonderful teacher called Sigrid Ellison. And I think that first class, I just walked out of there feeling 10 feet tall and like I had this glow around me that I couldn't explain. I just felt wonderful. And it just kind of felt like my body had been waiting for my whole life to discover that. So I went to Sigrid's classes for a few years. And then I decided to enroll for the teacher training. And I didn't initially intend to teach at that stage. I just wanted to know more, learn deeper into the subject. And it was a 2-year teacher training. It was quite intense. And then I think by the end of it, by the time I qualified, it was like partly, well, I haven't gotten through all that not to teach. And partly I just thought, I've got to share it. You know, everybody needs yoga. It is for everybody. But I think there's always a bit of a imposter syndrome about me, even after 14 years of teaching, whether I still, part of me feels that I shouldn't really be a teacher, I'm no good. But I've taught from the very young to the very elderly. And it's just wonderful seeing people coming out of a class with that same glow, that same change in their posture, their demeanour. I want to spread it as wide as I can, because I think it's so important for us mentally and physically to keep moving, especially as we get older, and moving in such a safe way as well.
I must say that that glow is very visible on your face, and while listeners can't quite see it because this is an audio podcast, I hope that's captured in the picture we'll be using, and I'm sure you'll be talking more about that.
Oh, thank you.
Can you tell listeners how you started your local Facebook community group, SAIL M33?
The short version is, after a couple of glasses of wine on a Friday night, I was aware of, through my involvement in various things in the Stretford community, I was aware of their local Facebook community group and how powerful it had been for creating real change within the town and bringing people together. And at the time, we just didn't have that same feeling of community in SAIL. SAIL's obviously grown so much throughout the years. I was having a look at the figures before, in the 1980s when I was growing up, there was about 55,000 people in SAIL. At the last census done in 2011, there was 134,000 people. And I think in small villages, everybody knows each other. Everybody knows exactly what's going on in the village, who does what. You know, you'll go to the local shop, you'll speak to people. The information will be there on a community notice board. And so there is a real sense of community in small places, but the bigger places get, that sense of community can get lost. And through my yoga teaching, I was already involved in some involved with some charitable organisations and things. And I was aware of a lot of great things going on in the community that nobody knew about. And so I was talking to my husband one Friday night, and we were moaning about the fact that there's nothing in sale like there was in Stretford. So it was like, right, let's just do it. And overnight it grew to, I think on the first day it had grown to 1,000 people, 1,000 members. And it just snowballed from there. We had no idea what we were doing to start with, but it snowballed. We've now got 25,000 members, and it's been such a brilliant voice for the community. And it really has sort of brought that sense of community to Sale.
Sure, that it was probably a need that was being unmet. And, you know, the moment you set it up, if 1,000 people came up overnight, it means people are constantly looking. So
absolutely, it felt like that was what we'd all been waiting for.
I love it. I think more Friday evening inspiration then. Can you tell us about any challenges you might have faced either in the Facebook community group or in your yoga classes and bringing that to everybody, making it accessible? What are the key things that you think were perhaps lessons learned that others could learn from?
Yeah, so I think the Facebook group, the response took us a bit by surprise, and never having done anything like that before, unseen behind the scenes of social media, it was quite overwhelming. So I think we learned quite quickly that doing it alone was too much, because it does take up a lot of time. So we have a great team now of 9 admins, which is brilliant, because it's finding the right admins as well with the same vision as you. And we had a couple of stumbling blocks along the way of that, but now we have a great team who all share the same vision and get on really well. And we can, when things get a little bit frustrating, we can all bounce things off each other yeah, it's kind of like managing the content of a Facebook community group. I kind of see it like editing a magazine. You have to decide what feel you want that group to have, what content you want it to have. And of course, the content is from the members, but you're filtering that. And yeah, it's a good group. It's been hard work. And in terms of challenges in yoga, I think it's, I mean, we spoke before briefly about, I used to run a community interest company called Wellbeing Weekdays to provide free and accessible exercise classes to hard to reach people. And so people in more deprived areas, people with health conditions, elderly people, but those people are called hard to reach because they are hard to reach. And so we've had some success with that. But I feel that we could do so much more. I mean, through my current role as a community support hub coordinator, you know, I meet people with a lot of health issues, a lot of mobility issues, and a lot of the time I find myself thinking, if only I could get you into yoga.
Maybe one day you can integrate that as well.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping to start a chair yoga class soon, because through the pandemic and seeing how elderly people, particularly their mobility, has been affected, a general yoga class would be no good for them. So I'm hoping to start a very gentle chair yoga one to help, you know, the less mobile.
Just love that. That's really interesting. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved. What inspired you?
Well, what inspired me to start the Facebook community group was, so I used to do a free class in Stretford, a free community class in Stretford. And at the time, there's a beautiful listed building, Stretford Public Hall, which was formerly used as the town hall. But it needed a lot of work. And so the council had put it up for sale for £1. And so all developers were bidding for this building. But a couple of the women who came to my class, brilliant women, Anushka Dayton and Lisa Heanley, they and another guy, Paul, they formed the Friends of Stretford Public Hall, and they bought Stretford Public Hall off the council for £1. And these were just normal women like me. Lisa was an artist, Anushka's acupuncturist, is that a word? and to take on a project like that is immense, and I was full of admiration for them. But they did it, and from the word go, they involved the community, and the community response to it was incredible. Everybody was buying shares to enable them to completely renovate the building. And now, I think it was last year, the renovation of the ballroom upstairs was completed. And they have all sorts of things going on there. On the first night, they started a community choir. They had 100 people turn up to the first one. They do screenings. I help them set up Wellbeing Tuesdays there at a later date. So when the funding for these classes finish, we kind of left it that, okay, when the public hall's up and running, then I'll start a yoga class there. And so I help them set up Wellbeing Tuesdays, and they have a variety of donation-based classes, dance, meditation, chair aerobics, and of course yoga. And seeing the way the community responded, and they're reliant on volunteers, they have a massive team of volunteers, and made me just think, well why haven't we got that in sale? And it was one of those, well, if it doesn't exist, create it on a Friday night after a couple of glasses of wine.
Like all good ideas, right? I love it. So tell us about who you currently help and support. Again, I leave it to you. You've got so many different areas you're working on. So if you want to talk about through your work, if you want to talk through Facebook, or you want to talk through your yoga classes.
So, through my work, the community support hub, we were one of the six response hubs in Trafford, set up by Trafford Council at the start of the pandemic, to help people access food, medication, to provide a listening ear, because of course everybody was so scared and didn't know where to turn to start off with. And so the sale one was taken up by an organisation called Our Sale West, and they're based in Sale West Community Centre. Sale West is a more deprived area of Sale, where there's a high density of social housing. And so Our Sale West took on the community hub role. So I came to that quite a bit later. I've been there about 13 months now, 14 months, and so that the role has changed over that time, because of course nobody's shielding anymore now. We're sort of more involved with the after effects of the pandemic, so we're helping people with sort of poverty and isolation and things like that. And we do a lot of food provision. So we have a food bank there. We run the bread and butter thing there, which is a weekly thing to get your shopping at a low cost. So people pay £7.50 and they get the week's shopping for that fresh food. That's really good. It's a charity. I think they're based in North Manchester, but they've got hubs all over the place, all over Manchester now. So yeah, we support, we also deliver 30 meals a week to vulnerable residents that wouldn't otherwise get a home cooked meal, or and perhaps wouldn't get any contact with anybody other than carers. And we do a food share there on a Friday where we pick up short dated stock from the supermarkets and just hand it out. People come along, bring a bag and fill up with shopping. the community hubs are, even though we're past the worst of the pandemic now, the councils are looking at their existence longer term and how they can support the community going forward. And so in terms of the Facebook group, I think, you know, it's there for every single individual member of the community. They're a great source of information, people knowing what's going on in the community. They're brilliant for local businesses as well. My husband went for a haircut at a local barber's last week, and somebody had posted about this barber's a couple of weeks before that. They posted on the group saying, oh, I've just been here, they're really nice. And when my husband went, he the guy told him that his business had doubled since somebody had posted on SaleM33 about it. So that's really nice. And of course, charitable organisations raises their profiles, lets people know what support is out there for them, and just keep, it's that sense of community as well. It gives you that feeling of community. You know, in a big town where you might not know many people, you get to know them, even if it's just on social media and you've never known them, you get to know their character. And so it's really nice. It just creates that feeling of community that we all need.
That is lovely. Can you tell us about what impact you'd say you'd made so far? You just talked about a lovely example where, you know, a little local business, the barber's shop, got so much business from that platform, but in other areas or in that area, in the area of your Facebook community group, what impact would you say you made?
Yeah, so I think there's countless examples like that. I mean, there was one, we've currently got the regeneration of the town centre going on, which is really exciting for Sale. It's the town centre hasn't really matched the demographic of the town for a long time, and now it's really, there's loads of new restaurants and bars and new shops coming into the town, and that's been fantastic to see. And I don't know if you've heard, there's a pasta place in Altrincham called Sugo, and if you get the opportunity, it's gorgeous. And they wanted to move to Sale, but because of the pandemic, the banks weren't keen to lend them money. So they did a Kickstarter campaign, and which was shared. And I think the people of Sale really wanted Sugo, because I think probably within about a week they'd raised £60,000.
Wow.
To be able to, so it was like, okay, so we're opening in Sale. And yes. Well, it's also the little things as well. The, you know, thousands of reunited cats and bank cards and the little acts of kindness that you see on there as well. But also, as I say, there are the bigger things as well, like the Sale Sharks. Last year or so, or a couple of years ago, wanted to move on to Crossford Bridge, so local sports playing field that's used by community groups and dog walkers. And often you kind of think it's a done deal when these things are proposed. You think there's no point in fighting them, but actually, you know, the community was really strongly against that. And so the move was rejected. So it was like, wow, you know, that's a really good victory. And
it is. It's amazing that, you know, the people's movement in that sense could actually stand strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And it did make you feel hopeful on future things, that it is worth using your voice and speaking up for what you believe in, because, you know, sometimes you are listened to. Not always, but sometimes.
But enough to count, right? Or to inspire you for the next one. Nice.
Yeah.
So how can interested people reach out to you and learn more?
So I do have a website, gainamallinyoga.com, which is actually under construction at the moment. I also have a Facebook page for my yoga, Purple Haze Yoga.
What advice would you have for people looking to start a similar movement in their local community?
I would say to anybody, if you see something that needs doing, if you see a gap, something that doesn't exist, just go do it. You'll learn everything as you know, people think they can't do something because they haven't got the knowledge, but often you'll pick that knowledge up as you go along. So if you want to see something, be the change that you want to see, as the saying goes.
So I'm going to switch gears now to what the signature questions I ask all my guests. And I'm going to start with, what do you love the most about Manchester?
Manchester is a beautiful city. It's got stunning architecture and a real changing face as well. You know, when you go into Manchester now, it looks very different. As you drive in now, you've got that whole skyline of all the new buildings, but there's a mix of all the beautiful old buildings as well. But I would have to say the people. You know, I think Mancunians are quite unique. We're all, there's a strength of spirit in Manchester, and I think we're all, say it as it is, and we have quite a unique sense of humour that we'd like to take the mickey out of each other, and we like to take the mickey out of ourselves, and but also very friendly. You know, people know their neighbours, people will help anyone. The people. I think if I ever go anywhere in the world and I meet somebody else from Manchester, it's like, oh, you've got this little bond going on.
It's really lovely. What's your favourite place, or where's your favourite place in Manchester?
I say probably the Northern Quarter. I love the vibe of the Northern Quarter. It's just such a cool little area. And Affleck's Palace as well, because that's been there so long, and it's a place of nostalgia for me. As a young teenager, I used to get the bus into town. So we always call it into town as well, even though it's a big city. If you go into Sale, you just go into the shops. If you're going into Manchester, you're going into town. And I used to go and spend my earnings from a part-time job on crazy earrings and things from Affleck's Palace. And it's still there and it's still going, and it's still got that alternative vibe to it.
I haven't heard of it, so I think I'm putting that on my list. It might be something to check out. So it's a test.
Oh, like, definitely.
Bucky's store, or what's Affleck's Palace?
So I think it's over three or four stories. I think it's on Tibb Street, and it's just all small alternative stalls in there, and they've got a nice cafe in there. And I mean, it's changed over the years. It was a little bit, when I was in my teens, it was a bit more goth and punk, whereas now it's changed a little. But yeah, it's all independent traders in there, and it's just got a really funky vibe. It's a great place.
What's the most important life lesson you've learned?
I think I turned 50 last year, and I think you learn a lot of life lessons by then. But I think that the most important life lesson is to find the joy in every day, and because it is always there, and it's not in the big things, it's not in the fancy holidays or the possessions, it's in the little moments, it's in the sitting in the garden listening to a bird in the tree, it's in the connection to another person, you know, a shared conversation and laugh together. It's all those little things, and they are there. I think, you know, life is a series of highs and lows, and I've been through some really difficult times in my life, but when I look back on those times, I never see them just as a really difficult time. I also see the joyful parts of those as well. You know, we've had family bereavements, and when I look back, I see the bond that it created between those of us who were feeling the same grief. So, yeah, I think it's the joy is always there to be found. And we're only here for such a relatively short time as well. You know, I think a lot of the time we think life will be better when. Well, it isn't. It's here now. We're in life. And so find that joy every day.
I would totally relate to what you're saying, because I was just thinking in the pandemic, especially, you know, I used to travel the world, let's do so many things. And you realize that your joy came from, you know, your family, your dogs, just the really simple things in life. And like you said, a beautiful bird in the garden, squirrels running by, or just looking at the beautiful sky, and that gives you so much joy as well. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, there was so much, even though people were dying, obviously it was a terrible time in that sense, there was so much beauty as well, wasn't there? And when we slowed down and were able to see that, we all did really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for sharing that. If someone wrote a book on your life, what would they title it?
See, that's a really hard one. Firstly, because you don't know how other people see your life, do you? And also, I think we evolve all the time, don't we? And the person that I was in my 20s was very different to my 30s and 40s. I've had quite a varied life, and I feel very lucky for that. I was at an age in my early 20s where the rave scene in Manchester had just started, so I was part of that, and that was such a memorable time. And again, it was the connections with other people. It was just I was glad to be there for that part of history. Then I went traveling Australia for a couple of years. I worked as a bricklayer there, and as well as various other jobs. And then, as I say, it was when I got to my 30s, I became a yoga teacher. But when I was 20, I never would have imagined that. And when I was 30 and I was training to be a yoga teacher, I never would have imagined that one day I'd be a community support hub coordinator. So you just, you know, we're changing and evolving all the time. But I think the constant for me throughout my life has been nature. As a child, I used to drive my mum mad with things. Like, I had a little collection of dead bees that I used to keep in matchboxes to stroke, and I was always picking up injured birds and things. And in my 20s, I used to work in transport as well, which was quite a male-dominated industry. And all the lads who worked in the warehouse used to call me Swampy. And Swampy was a protester who, I think he tied himself to a tree or something to stop the destruction of an area. And so that was my nickname in my 20s, Swampy. And yeah, what keeps me grounded and full of joy is nature, and particularly trees. I love being, in fact, I'm actually doing training at the moment for forest bathing. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Absolutely. Tell us about it.
So it's not, everybody always thinks it's going to be bathing in water, but it's not. It's based on a Japanese concept, and it's bathing in the atmosphere of the forest. So it's just going about going into the forest, being mindful, connecting to nature. And it's had proven health benefits, physical and mental health. So I'm actually training to do that as a volunteer for a local charity called Breath Champs, which is run by a lovely lady called Heather Henry. And it's for people who suffer from asthma and other respiratory conditions. So I'm going to be running some forest bathing sessions for Heather on a voluntary basis on Carrington Moss, which is a local beautiful area of beauty just near here. So I would say, in terms of a book title, it might be What Swampy Did Next.
it brings your love for nature, your love for trees, your throwback to your 20s, and a little bit about your future, which is forest bathing. So beautiful. So before we end, is there anything I've not had a chance to ask you about that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, now that you ask, I just mentioned Carrington Moss. I could mention that to raise awareness. So Carrington Moss is an area of beauty in between Sale and Carrington, and it has natural peat bogs there. But they're currently looking at developing that area and creating industrial units, and I think 6,000 houses, wiping out this whole green belt pretty much. And so there is a movement against that called the Friends of Carrington Moss to try and stop the building on this greenbelt area. So if I can mention that to raise awareness, I could. So if anybody's interested in finding out more about that and involving themselves in the effort to stop it happening, there's a Facebook group called Friends of Carrington Moss. So you can have a look and read more about it on there.
I just wanted to give you that chance, because sometimes, you know, when we're talking against some questions, it may not always cover everything on your mind. So I'm glad you had a chance to talk about Carrington Moss, as well as what you're doing with forest bathing and Breath Champs. So I think these are two charities as well, which I'm going to add to the list and tell you.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Gayla, for talking to me and my listeners. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been a real pleasure, Gayla.
Thank you all for listening from so many countries around the globe. I'm so glad to know you're finding some inspiration from the amazing Mancunian guests who feature here. Please do consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. I would also be grateful if you could share this podcast with a friend or a family member. Thank you so much for your support.